the 260 Dugout Podcast. Welcome to your destination for all things baseball in the Summit City. The 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company. From Little League to Major League Baseball, it's time to go inside the dugout. Here's your host, DC Hendricks.
And welcome in. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Special shout out to our good friends at the Old Fort Baseball Company and our good friend, Logan Weening. Very excited about this bonus episode, as was going to do it next week, but realized, know what? It's this week. So we got to get it in this week. It is Women's Baseball Week, and we are digging into the IWBC, International Women's Baseball Center. And we are lucky to be joined by someone that is very knowledgeable about the history of women's baseball, and especially right here in our city, here in the 260 in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I am joined by Ryan Woodward, who is joining us from IWBC. Ryan, what's going on?
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. We're in our offices are in Rockford, Illinois, and it's a hot one today. So, you know, it's baseball weather, but I'm happy to be in the office at present. Just talking about Women in Baseball Week.
Go ahead and dig into what you bring to the table at IWBC in your job.
Okay, well, that's a really good question, because right now I am the first staff member, actually, in addition to our CEO. I was on the board for a long time. The IWBC has been around for 10 years now, and it's a nonprofit that's just, the mission is to support women and girls in all areas of baseball. And a lot of rapid growth in those 10 years. I was on the board for 6 years, and then I stepped off the board just to concentrate on some projects that I wanted to spend more time on. And then the opportunity came to actually join as a staff member, as project coordinator, and, establish the office and get to work on some media projects. And I took that, and it's been a busy couple of years since I moved to Rockford to work on this full time. But our projects have been, quite varied over the years. We did a lot of virtual programming in the years where we didn't have a physical home. And then that came in handy, actually, during the pandemic, when everybody had to, turn to virtual programming.
Right. So
we've done a lot of that type of stuff. You know, we've done a lot of fundraisers. The ultimate goal has always been, we're building a museum and education center here at Rockford, Illinois. It's right across from Beyer Stadium, which was the home of the Rockford Peaches from 1943 to 1954. They were part of the same All-American Girls Professional Baseball League that the Fort Wayne Daisies were in. So, a number of Daisies would have played here in those 10 years that the Daisies were active. So it's a pretty special historic place. And to build our education center, our museum, our activity center right across the street from all that, and kind of incorporate that historic field, that's been a really exciting project and mission, for the last few years. But right now, we have just started hardcore meetings on organizing the next group stage of the Women's Baseball World Cup. Now, if anyone's not familiar, yes, this is an international tournament. It is probably the most elite tournament for women's baseball internationally. It's only been held in the United States once. And we were awarded hosting rights for a group stage next year. So the way it works is you have two group stages all over the world. From those emerge six teams that will compete in the finals, which will be in 2027. But yeah, we were really fortunate. Just found out a couple months ago that we were going to host next year's here in the Rockford area. And it's one of those it's exciting, but it's also terrifying. And it's we've never done that before, but I know we can handle it. One thing, Rockford is a very sports happy city. They've supported a lot of great teams here over the years, but then just extra events like we just wrapped up an Ironman competition. That was huge. There were so many people involved in that, and it ran so smoothly because of the interaction with everybody around town. So we are not cocky, but very confident we can pull this off for next year, and it's going to be a great event. We don't know which teams are coming yet from which countries. All of that is still being worked out. There's some still preliminary play going on right now just to determine who will come to group stage next year. But that's our big news, in addition to working on this, long-term USIM Education Center project and bringing in more and more different groups to one, experience the historic field there, create more opportunities for women and girls, but really for everybody. And yeah, it's a full slate of constant programming, working with great partners, and just seeing what we can do to yeah, just create more fun and more opportunities for everybody.
That's huge. And yeah, you one team that you brought up, that a lot of people are familiar with here in the 260s, the Fort Wayne Daisies, who, we have the big night at the Parkview Field with the tin caps and get to, they get to be celebrated then. But this is a team that I believe, and this is what I give credit to my buddy Logan Weening at O4 Baseball Co., where he does a great job at highlighting them in addition to what the Tin Caps do. But in case nobody knows, the Fort Wayne Daisies were a professional baseball team based right here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, a women's professional baseball team. I know they played in the 40s, and I think they played for about 9 years or so, 8 or 9 years, and they played in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. Talk about your connection and your knowledge of the Fort Wayne Daisies.
Oh, I can, we can do, we can spend a lot of time on that. And a lot of this is connected. So I got interested, in the Women's League of the 40s, way back because of A League of Their Own, which I think that's the case for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm from Western Kentucky, and most of that movie was filmed in Southern Indiana, when I was in middle school. So that was a big deal, when you're from non-Hollywood places, when Hollywood shows up to make a movie with big deal stars and all this. But also, as a history fan, as a baseball fan, I was just like, what is this? What is this league? This really happened. So I've been hooked for, 30 years on the history of women's baseball. So I've been following, they have a players association that I followed for a long time, and I've read every book about it I can. It's arguably why I'm now working with the International Women's Baseball Center. The way that can change your life, decades later, and you don't even really realize it. But one of the things, one of the connections I like with the movie is, A League of Their Own got its title and its basis from a documentary in 1987. Same name, A League of Their Own, was produced by one of the players' sons. And the highlight of that short documentary, it's only about 28, 29 minutes long, is it attends a reunion of the league in Fort Wayne. I think it's in 1986. And they're covering this producer's mother, and her teammates are the primary interviewees. So what you also see then when the movie comes out is a lot of the characters are kind of based on very specific personalities or experiences, whether it's Callahan sisters, from British Columbia, Pepper Pear and Faye Dancer were another two who you can kind of see some direct correlation between characters in the movies from these real life players. So, the Daisies already get kind of set out, at least for me, set apart from other teams. You feel like you know them because characters are based on them. A lot of the experiences are based on them. Another thing I love is the Daisies, actually the franchise started in 1944 as the Minneapolis Millerettes team. And despite having these superstars, on the team, like great batting, great pitching, base running, people who would be in the league for years. Minneapolis was not a great team. They finished last, I think, in both halves of the season, and they end up losing their home field and became a traveling team halfway through the summer. It was just like, it's not a happy story for a baseball team to experience in a season. So they relocate to Fort Wayne in 1945. And then they become this powerhouse for like the next 10 years. And it's really cool, especially in 45, which this year would mark the 80th anniversary of the first season of Fort Wayne Daisies baseball. And they reached the finals. They did lose the finals to our Rockford Peaches, but that's okay. Amazing players on both teams throughout the whole league. And yeah, you start to see some of those same players who inspired characters in the film. Becoming longtime Daisy heroes around Fort Wayne. And Honestly, that's what we celebrate, all of that and more, for Women in Baseball Week. That's the whole point of it. It initially started out in 2017. It was just kind of a social media awareness event. Women play baseball, like you should know this. And if you were a woman in baseball, it was, a time just to say, yeah, I'm here, see me, be me for little girls, and anybody can be inspired by, what these athletes have accomplished in their careers. But it was also a time to learn about baseball and the history of women's involvement in the game beyond just going to see it or, experiencing it or playing it. So that's why museums, libraries were kind of our first partners in Women in Baseball Week. What can people learn from you about women's baseball that they can't learn, obviously on the field at a game? And so it's been really cool that way. And then this involves, eventually artists, retailers like Old Fort Baseball, which I love. They have been so supportive of everything we're doing and a lot of our projects, and they keep continuing to grow, which is what I just absolutely love about Logan and Old Fort. We are constantly, year after year, hey, what about this? Or I had an idea. Do you think we could work together on this, or do you want to run with this? And, we currently have a t-shirt campaign, just support women's baseball, which is great. And that was Logan's idea for this year's Women in Baseball Week. And, it's been very helpful. We have a lot of things to work on here. So when we have someone like him who can step in and be like, here's my vision, here's my idea for a design, like, what else do you want to be a part of it? How can we get it into the hands of the people who would really want it? And it's just a nice relationship to have where you don't feel like you're taking on entire projects on your own, and there are people we can all benefit together by just a cool idea, even if it's just selling shirts or whatever. But Old Fort, one thing I appreciate is they've always gone that extra mile. The website always is an educational space. Their events are the same way. I actually got to come to the Vintage Baseball
I was
Showcase.
gonna ask you, yeah, I was gonna ask you if you got to come check it out. What'd you think?
I did. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to, with scheduling and everything, but I did.
Yeah.
It was super hot, which,
It was, it really was.
that's a common theme for me, but it was great. And the thing I do honestly love about that was I had been to similar vintage baseball games and events before, especially when I lived in Delaware and Pennsylvania. But this one, like, there was truly a lot of just education about, what were the rules, in 1860 or whenever it's supposed to be, I forget. But why are they playing it like it was constant, but it wasn't like, in your face. This is why they're doing this. This is why they're dressed like this. This is what the rules are. And then there were so many families there with kids. A lot of the other events, like I mentioned before, it's just been a lot of, middle-aged guys like me who are just kind of baseball nerds and just into the idea. This thing in Fort Wayne, this vintage showcase, there were so many kids there and just kids participating in the game too, which I loved, and they were into it, and they were some of the most, I think, fierce players on the field, which was really cool to see. But I love that Old Fort does all that. Obviously there are other organizations that offer, the education along with all their other events, whether they're selling things or whatever the event is. And I think that's a real important component that needs to happen more often when you're having events for the public that are history based, whether it's baseball or
Great.
anything.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely a great time. And I definitely, the reason I started with the Fort Wayne Daisies is because around here, I'm sure that's the first team that people think of and the first thing they think of when they think of women's baseball in the 260. And as you said, very successful team. Like you said, I mean, there was a time where, I know Betty Foss, who won Player of the Year, in 52, and then, Joan Weaver, who I think had the league high batting average in 54, batting a 429. So there's been some great players that have played for the Fort Wayne Daisies. They played, for people that are unaware, they played at Northside Park before moving to Memorial Park. Still very, prestigious parks that we have in the 260. So my question, obviously how, it's obviously elevated a lot since then, as we now have a professional women's baseball league that is starting up soon. What do you think happened to the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League? What happened in order what do you think, because it just kind of like ended, right? Like, what happened to the league?
I look to the historians for this, and the more books that come out, the better. It's universally understood there was a lack of funding, proper appropriate funding towards the end of the league. Fan support wasn't there as Major League Baseball became a bigger deal, televised baseball, but really televised entertainment in all forms. There was just simply a lot more for people to do, and the league couldn't sustain itself after a while. Now, what is really cool to also understand is, a number of Fort Wayne Daisy's players continued for 3 or 4 seasons after the league folded, as a touring professional team where they would challenge men's teams all over the U.S. They loaded up in like 2 cars and drove all over the Midwest and South and Northeast, and they would play men's teams. Very barnstorming, very, exhibition style play. No big records were kept or, playoffs or trophies or anything like that exist from it. But there were a number of players. Maxine Kline was a Fort Wayne Daisies pitcher who, as a pro ball player, she extended her career by 3 years, playing on these touring teams. And then, we'll see. Later on, there was, your Colorado Silver Bullets in the 90s. There was Ladies Pro Baseball League in the 90s for about a season and a half. And now we're hopefully embarking on yet another thing. But I think it's organization, it's funding, it's getting fan support. All those are necessary. And I'm pretty excited about what's coming out right now, both with American Girls Baseball, which, does a big tournament. It's going to be in Durham in a couple of weeks. And a lot of this gets players looked at by the national team and, sets us up for having a nice pro league. And then there's the Women's Pro Baseball League proper, which is set to launch next year. So hopefully a lot of this history, awareness of history of how things have gone in the past. Of course, we're living in a different world now, and I'm no marketing finance expert. I think what it does demonstrate, though, is there is an audience for it out there. We had the U.S. Women's National Team come through Rockford 2 years ago, in an exhibition game on their way to World Cup play in Canada. At the time was where that was being hosted, and so they were here for 2 days. They had an open practice and a exhibition game, and we had like 1,300 people out at Byers Stadium, which where it is now, the field's in great shape, but I mean we're just talking, it's like a city park. It's a diamond and there's some bleachers, and that we had 1,300 people crowded around that ball diamond. Rockford turns out for that. Every time there's something to do with the Peaches or women's baseball coming through town. And I know Fort Wayne's got to be the same way. Such a successful team there. There's a rich history there, obviously, as we see through Old Fort and everything that they have. And I think the time is ready. Where those teams are going to be located for the Pro League, I don't know, but I think they're going to find fan support all over the place, especially in these former All-American cities.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. And as you said, things have changed so much with women's sports as they have grown significantly. I mean, you have even like locally here in high schools, you have now girls flag football teams in high school. You have St. Francis, who has a women's flag football program. You have and obviously in the professional landscape, the WNBA is growing with people like Caitlin Clark right here in Indiana, helping the game grow and get bigger than it's ever been. And so now with this professional baseball league for the women, and it definitely helps having people like Monet Davis, who is a big name within the women's baseball circle, and people remember her from the Little League World Series. It's got to be big to have people like that involved for the early stages of the women's professional baseball league too.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Monet Davis, I met her the year after the big Little League World Series thing. And it was actually my first IWBC event. This was in Reading, Pennsylvania. There was like a girls' camp tournament going on during at this complex where, a lot of teams were playing. And she, number one, was class act. She's like 15 years old and just poised and, knew how to talk to people and, was just like already, a superstar, a celebrity. And it was really cool to see boys her age from, whatever tournament was going on that day coming over to get her autograph. And it wasn't like a cheesy mocking thing or anything. They'd all seen her play the year before. And, this was a peer and this was like a celebrity peer of theirs. And, they were real excited to meet her and like have, these grown-up conversations about the game. So, that was cool. And then, yeah, I hear what you're saying too about just women's sports in general. Flag football is skyrocketing here in Illinois. More and more schools are developing varsity teams for that. And then I do have to say, I have a 9-year-old niece. She lives in Indianapolis and she started playing basketball last year. And she does cheerleading too, but she started playing basketball before Caitlin Clark had finished college. So, the next thing just months after she starts playing basketball, Caitlin Clark shows up to play in her hometown. And, my niece has been to, I don't know how many Fever games now, but I love the idea that she's 9 years old and she thinks this is kind of the norm. Right, that everybody's hometown probably has a WNBA team, and they're sold out every single game. And you have one of the biggest stars playing for your hometown. And I love that she. I almost want her to take it for granted because I just want to have reached that level to where female athletes are being celebrated by everybody, and people are supporting people doing what they're good at and getting them their shot to take advantage of those kind of opportunities.
Yeah, it's super huge. I love watching, as a big women's sports supporter, like I literally used to write about women's basketball as a supporter and obviously a baseball historian myself and, enthusiast. This is huge. I'm very excited for the future of women baseball. And, and this week isn't just about people that have played either, right? Like I feel like this has opened up to even women that work, in the marketing departments for, baseball teams or even, media relations. This is a women's week to celebrate all of those women that work even behind the scenes for baseball, correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. One of the first things we get asked a lot is, is a woman going to play in the MLB? And it's one of those like we are so far beyond like concerned about that. Personally, of course, I'd rather much rather see, however many women play in a professional league. Except for, one person playing. But no, you're exactly right. That's what it is. We have a conference coming up in September, that we co-sponsor every year. It's a virtual conference, so anybody can come. And we co-sponsor this with SABR, Society for American Baseball Research, a number of years now. And there's always a panel on there of women umpires. I think they're working on a panel of women groundskeepers, at MLB parks. So it's a great way for us to highlight that, but so is Women in Baseball Week. We have nice relationships. There are groups like Level Ump that try to get underserved people, baseball umpire training, especially a lot of women. They're doing great work, and we are hoping to get some events organized with them here in Rockford, but also, wherever we can get them done. But yeah, it's media, it's scholars, it's the staff at minor league and college level baseball. If you're a woman in baseball, this is why we celebrate you now every day, really. But it's a fun time of year for what we're trying to do. And that's just, this idea that baseball is for everyone. We're not just talking about players, and we're not just talking about, the hypothesis that could woman play in Major League Baseball. If she is good enough, like she should get a tryout. But Our efforts are going to be on how many more women, how many more opportunities can we create for everybody to get in baseball on some level.
Yeah, absolutely. Could have said it better myself. And in addition to the conference you got coming up in September, tell everyone, in case they're not knowledgeable about, what you guys do again at IWBC, tell everyone where they can find out more information, how they can, get more information on women in baseball and some other information. I know you guys were doing a signed copy of the Women's Encyclopedia book as well that started. Highlight all of that and where they can find more information on you guys.
Sure. Go to our website is IWBC.org. That stands for International Women's Baseball Center. On there, you will find all kinds of stuff. You will find World Cup information. You will find ways to donate to fundraisers that we're having, like the Encyclopedia project you just mentioned. This is a great resource I've used. I can't tell you how many times. And Dr. Leslie Heafy, who is our board president, took the lead on that, and it's just a great resource to have. It highlights players and parks and leagues and all kinds of things throughout history. And so that's a great resource. There's links on there to what we have in our archive collection, a lot of what we're showing off in a little exhibit at Rockford Public Library this summer. So if you're anywhere close to Rockford, be sure to check that out. There's links to Women in Baseball Week, but also the Women's Baseball Heritage Trail, which is another project I started a couple of years ago. So it's just essentially an online map where you can find women's baseball history really all over the world. Now, it might be a former ballpark, it might be a historic marker, it might be, a library archive somewhere, but it truly reflects the goals of Women in Baseball Week of just how can you learn about women's baseball in a lot of places beyond the ballpark. So all of that is found at IWBC.org. And reach out to us. We're on all the social medias and working hard. So that's.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I really appreciate all the information and definitely wanted to make sure that we celebrated this week as it is special week. I feel like, Women in Baseball Week is something that, baseball nerds like ourselves are definitely obsessed about, but also it's something to bring awareness to people that may not be as, into it as we are, but we definitely need to acknowledge it because it's only going to get bigger and better as the years come. But Ryan, definitely appreciate the time for coming on today and definitely look forward to chatting again. If you come to the Summit City again, I want to make sure to meet you next time.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it. This a couple weeks ago was my first real trip in Fort Wayne where I was able to take some time and look through stuff, look at Daisy's sites and things like that, and take in the showcase. So, no, I had a great time, and yeah, I can't wait to come back.
Yeah, and I will, you said the conference is up to anyone to attend, right?
Oh yeah, it's always virtual. It's on Zoom. It's
Okay.
September 19th through 21st this year. Registration will be up on our website soon.
Sounds good. I will be there as well. So I look forward to talking with you.
Thanks.